Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And good morning to all you who are watching online. And I believe this morning God's going to really speak to us. Right at the beginning, when our sister read that scripture, beautiful scripture that Jesus spoke about, peace, and not to be afraid, not to fear, the title of my message is, I Will Fear No Evil. So I think God's speaking to us. So you online, listen to this. Listen to it carefully, because I believe God wants to tell us something very important this morning. So, Father, we just pray that your word right now will be anointed by the power of your Holy Spirit, that every person here and every person outside that's listening and watching shall be spoken to in a very real and a dynamic way by you, Lord. We just pray that we will become people that you want us to be, followers of you, Lord, not afraid, not living in fear, but, Lord, on fire for you. So bless this word, anoint it. Lord, I pray that you will be glorified and magnified through all that is said and done this day. In Jesus' name, amen. And I'm going to read from Psalm 23, the most well-known psalm of all. It's a beautiful song of King David. And there would not be many people, you know, in the world that haven't heard this psalm or doesn't know this psalm. It's the most popular psalm that there is. And a lot of people in these latter days have kept this psalm as a funeral psalm. And I just don't know why. Why they say, I've read this psalm at many funerals, don't get me wrong. I think it's good, but not just at funerals. At weddings, when people are sick, when people want to just to be encouraged to read this psalm. Let me read it to you. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. What a beautiful start to that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will fear no evil. Fear. So many people live in fear, even Christians. Let me say that again. So many people live in fear, even many Christians. It is so easy for fear to control us, especially in the world in which we live. Right now, people around the world are gripped in fear as a result of unsavory circumstances in their lives, such as war. We know what's going on right now in the Ukraine. War, sickness, poverty, marriage failure, family breakups, discrimination, bullying, etc. The list goes on and on and on. People are living in fear because of these things. War, sickness, poverty, marriage failure, family breakups, discrimination, bullying. The list goes on. People find themselves going through a dark, cold, lonely valley, and they're gripped with fear. Now, no one wants to live in fear because fear robs us of peace. Fear robs us of joy. Fear robs us of well-being. Fear robs us of hope. Fear robs us of enjoying the beautiful things of life. Fear is not your friend if it controls you. Fear is not your friend if it controls you. We do not want fear to become our companion. And yet, let me say this again, millions of people are gripped in fear and controlled by fear and don't realize it. Many people so accept fear that they think it's a part of life, even though fear robs them of their joy, robs them of their peace, robs them of their well-being. It's accepted, and many people just live with it. That is not the way that God wants us to live. Many times, fear can be useful. So don't get me wrong. Fear can be good because it can make us cautious when doing something that could cause us trouble or pain. So there's fears that we have that makes us cautious. And that's right. That's nothing wrong with that at all. Fear is a God-given thing used properly. When fear controls us and fear becomes out of control, we're in trouble. But normal fear, for example, listen to this. The Bible says, listen, what is the beginning of wisdom? The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I fear God, not in a cringing fear, but I fear Him because I appreciate who He is. Can I just say this? God is not Father Christmas. He's almighty, all-powerful, and He will have the last say. God will have the last say over your life, over my life. I fear Him. But it's a healthy fear. I respect Him. I honor Him because He's an awesome, powerful God. And I hear the way people blaspheme His name. I hear the way people in the world today just act as if He's nothing. Well, let me say, in the end, they're going to be answerable to Him. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. It's good to have a bit of fear of God right now. Can you say amen to that? Can you say amen to that online? It's good to have the fear of God. But that's not a fear that grips you and controls you. That's a fear that is healthy. I have a fear about electricity because I've been electrocuted a few times. I put my finger into the wrong socket and so I have a healthy fear of electricity. That's not bad. That's a good thing. But others are controlled by their fears. We've talked about adult and teen challenge this morning. Let me just tell you, I've had a lot to do with that, a lot to do with drug addicts. I see people that have been and that are controlled by fear, living lives of fear. Many people go into drugs and alcohol and all sorts of chemical substances to try to alleviate fear, to try to break away from fear, to try to get their mind a little bit more organized. And I'm going to tell you, fear controlling you is a terrible, terrible thing. So this morning I'm addressing that kind of fear, not the healthy fear. I'm not addressing that at all. I'm addressing the fear that grips and controls you mentally and emotionally. The fear that becomes your prison. And there are many, many people who are imprisoned in their fears. There's many valleys in this life that we go through. We have mountaintop experiences. We have valley experiences. It is in the valley experiences that we encounter fear. You can't stop valley experiences coming. I wish we could. I wish I could preach a sermon to you this morning that say, I've got something to tell you now. If you just listen to this, you'll never have a valley experience again. I can't say that. We've already heard this morning that in this world in which we're living, there's going to be trouble. Jesus said that in the world, He said, I've told you these things so that you can have peace. But in the world, you will have trouble. You will have valley experiences, all of you, every one of you, every man, woman, boy and girl on planet Earth today, the billions and billions that they are, everyone will have valley experiences. And you can't stop the valley experiences if you're living in this world, because it's a nature of this world. There's mountaintops that we go on to. Thank God for the mountaintops experiences. But there's valley experiences. We go through things that we sometimes are our own fault and that we've caused it. But we also go through things that have got nothing to do with us and yet are affecting us. You think of all those poor people right now in the Ukraine going through their valley experiences. They didn't do anything to deserve that. They didn't ask for that. They didn't want that. They didn't even know, most of them, that it was coming. It's not their fault that it's come, but it's come. It is a valley experience. Jesus said, in the world you will have trouble. But then he says, but you be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Amen? Amen. He's saying that. Valley experiences, they come. They're part of us. We can't get away from it. King David had many valley experiences, but he found a way of not letting fear dominate him. Can I say that again? King David knew what it was to have valley experiences. He knew what it was to fight for his life. Many times he was right at death's door. David knew what it was to be in trouble. He knew what it was to suffer. He knew what it was to be rejected, discriminated against. He knew what it was to be hunted like an animal. He knew that. He knew what his valley experiences was. He had many of them. So King David did experience them, but he found a way of not letting fear dominate him. His song was, and it's a song that I read, the 23rd Psalm. His song was, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He was singing it. He wrote it. He wrote that song. He wrote the music to that song. Not the music we sing today, but back then. He wrote music to it and he sang it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil. This sounds absolutely incredible. How can you be free from fear? How? Surely fear will always accompany you in times of darkness. People expect fear. They think they should live with fear. They think because things are going wrong in their life, they should be experiencing fear that accompanies it. Right? If you're facing something really bad today, you're expecting to have fear with that. If you're expecting a sickness in your body that perhaps could even take your life, you expect to have fear with that. If you're expecting to be at war, you expect to have fear with that. If you're expecting your marriage to break up or your family, you expect to have fear associated with that. We expect it and we so easily let it come in. But David says, when I go through those valleys, I will fear no evil. That sounds out of this world. That sounds totally opposite to what we're taught and what we expect to believe. Because if a person says to you today, whatever you're going through, do not be afraid, well, you think that person is stupid. I remember when I was pastoring, for many years I pastored, and I counseled many people who came to me with all sorts of problems. And I want to tell you, I've had my share of problems, but I've had people that come to me for counsel, and I'm sitting at my desk, this behind my desk, talking to me, and they're looking at me, expecting me to sort their problems out. I'm listening to them. I'm thinking to myself, I've got to sort this out. I don't even know how they got in this problem, let alone get it sorted. The problems that people told me were absolutely amazing, and they were always accompanied with a fear aspect. I'm telling you, I've counseled hundreds, if not thousands of people. When they finished, I used to say this to them. Great words of wisdom. Are you ready? I used to say, well, the first thing, don't worry. And you should see the look on their faces. Some of the people, as if haven't you heard a word that I've said? Haven't you been listening to me? How dare you say, don't worry? What a stupid, idiotic thing to say. They haven't actually said it to me when I've been counseling them, but I could see it in their eyes. I could see daggers coming out. I've just spent 20 minutes telling you about my problem, and all you could say is, don't worry. But what they don't realize I'm quoting scripture. Jesus said,
don't worry.
He did. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry. He's saying to us, don't worry. Because worry and anxiety are the kinsmen of fear. Did you hear that? The relatives of fear are worry and anxiety. If you're worried, you're afraid. If you're anxious, you're afraid. If you're panicking, you're afraid. And Jesus actually says, don't worry. So when these people looked at me with daggers, wanting to hurt me because I told them not to worry, I'm thinking, I'm only telling you what Jesus said. And you know what? The best bit of advice I could give them. Then, of course, I'd got to go into a few details, find some scriptures and give them some words of knowledge. But I gave them the best, and I know they didn't take it. And if I say it to you today, I know you won't take it. But I'm going to say it. Are you listening? Are you listening? Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, though darkness surrounds me, I will not be afraid of evil. I will have no fear of evil. He could say that. I know a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists would think that I'm mental for saying what I'm saying. How could you tell a person not to worry? You've got to first sort their problem out. If you sort the problem out, there'll be no more fear. That's a belief. If you've got a problem today and you're afraid, you're looking for an answer to your problem. Well, I'm telling you something wonderful is happening here. Jesus Christ is giving you an answer for your fear. He wants you to remove the fear aspect out of your problem. Because you know what happens when the fear aspect is removed? You can start to have faith. If you've got fear and you're controlled by fear, let me just tell you this, you don't have faith. If you're controlled by fear, it's fear that is controlling you and all that goes along with it. All the siblings of fear, panic, worry, anxiety, frustration. That's what you're experiencing. But take the fear aspect away and faith can start to rise. Hallelujah. And when faith arises, hope arises with it. Amen. Who thinks that's good preaching? If you don't, I do. I think it's terrific preaching. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, there's a better way. So if you think you should live with fear, let me just say this to you. No. 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 There is a better way. And the better way is the Bible way. And that's what I'm going to tell you about right now. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a hope that this world does not have. You have a hope that this world does not have. If you are a follower of Jesus, you have an added strength that comes from his love for you. Jesus told us that in this world we'll have trouble. Then he told us that he'd overcome the world so we can be brave, we could take heart and not be afraid. Now notice what David said or sang. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Who is with him? The shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in. It's talking about the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. The Lord leads me beside quiet waters. The Lord restores my soul. The Lord makes me to walk in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid because you are with me. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't forsake us. Can I say to every Christian listening to this message right now, whether you're here or online, he is with you. He's not left you. He won't forsake you. He is the good shepherd, and the good shepherd always looks after the sheep. Jesus made that very clear. When trouble comes along, he says the hireling will run. When the sheep are there and trouble comes, the hireling will run, but the shepherd will stay to defend those sheep. He takes them as his. He will defend them no matter what. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. I go through shadows of darkness. Yes, I do. He wasn't saying to God, don't let me go through anymore. Because he knows the world in which we live is a sinful world, a wicked world, a broken world, a sick world, a sad world, a mad world. That's the world in which we live now. It isn't always going to be like this, though. Amen? Amen. Let me just show you a beautiful scripture from Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. This is quite a unique scripture. I consider... This is Paul speaking. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. What a fantastic scripture. Can I read it again? Aren't you responding to that? Oh, I hope you online are responding a lot better than this lot here. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. This is not all of it. You're traveling through this life. You're not staying here. We go through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. We go through it. We don't stay in it. We don't park in it. We don't camp in it. We go through it. You're going through this life. You're not here to stay. And if you are, I feel really sorry for you. You're not here to stay. You got a better place, a better home, better hope in Jesus. In my Father's house, said Jesus, are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back to take you to be with me, that where I am, you will be also. What a promise! And Paul knew it. Paul had seen a glimpse of heaven. Paul himself had been to the third heaven. He'd had a glimpse. And he could say, and if anybody knew what suffering was, Paul did. Come on, Paul didn't live in a monastery. Paul didn't live in a Bible college. Paul was out there preaching the gospel under the most roughest circumstances there was. When the Romans ruled and the Romans had their gods and any other gods but the Romans were false. Paul went out there and preached. He was beaten. He was flogged, he was imprisoned, he was stoned to death even on one occasion, and God brought him back. He knew what suffering was. He knew it. But he could say, I reckon that what we're going through now, the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God's got a wonderful place for Christians to go to. You should be a happy bunch because you've got a wonderful future. Come on! If you're not a Christian, you don't have that future. If you're not a Christian, you've got nothing. If you're not a Christian, you don't have anything to look forward to at all. But if you're a Christian, you've got a wonderful future. I'll say, this might be a bit morbid, but I've conducted many, many funerals. And I look today at people doing funerals and how they prepare people for death, non-Christians. They prepare you for death. And they tell you to, try to tell you, look, you're going to die. But, you know, this is a gist of it. But just relax. Just make it a wonderful experience. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, how can you? How can you? How can you make death a lovely experience? If you could, everybody would want to die. Come on. But we don't. We fight to live. All those poor people in the Ukraine that's left their homes and gone through terrible things to get out of the country. Why? Because they want to live. They want their children to live. I saw a really upsetting YouTube the other night on the war in the Ukraine. Some of you may have seen it. There was this couple, a lovely couple, and... I should imagine in their early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. And they got a four-year-old girl, beautiful little girl, gorgeous little girl. And they'd taken her down to the bus station and grandmother was there, and they were giving her to the grandmother for them to take them out of Ukraine. This couple, lovely family couple, were staying. She hugged the child. She kissed the child. The father did hug it. And the reporter says, why are you saying goodbye to this child and staying here? Because we want our child to live. But we're staying here because this is our country and we're fighting for its future and for her future. I cried. When the bus started to move off, the little girl's face was at the window and she was waving and the mother was crying. I wept. How sad is that? How sad is it to think, well, we've got to do all those things for a future down here. I'm telling you something. When this future, whatever it is finished down here, there's a better one in heaven. This isn't the end of it. Let me just tell you that. And if you're a Christian, you've got something that you can rejoice in because Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. So David says, I'm not going to be afraid because you are with me. Now listen to this. Your rod and your staff, what do they do? Comfort me. What does that mean? What's he talking about? God, you're with me, and your rod and your staff comfort me. Now, you've got to understand that David himself used to be a shepherd. And the whole psalm is about a shepherd and the sheep. It's all about it. Everything about it. Can I just say this? He understood and he knew what he was talking about when he said this. The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Often shepherds, when they were leading the sheep in the eastern countries, not in Australia, so totally shepherding is totally, well, we don't call them shepherds in Australia, do we? We have sheep farms, and but it's different. There, the shepherd always walks in front of the sheep. He might have 100 sheep, 150 sheep, 200 sheep. But he's with them all the time. He actually knows a sheep individually. Isn't that interesting? He knows, and often shepherds would name sheep. The sheep also knew him because he speaks to them so often, they knew the sound of his voice. So that if they all came to a feeding trough at the same time or water and there were three or four shepherds came with their sheep, they didn't have brands on the sheep to say, well, that one's mine, that one's yours, that one's mine. They didn't do that. So all these sheep mingled together. How did they know which sheep belonged to them? Because a shepherd, when he felt his sheep had had enough water to drink, he'd just walk down the road a little bit, then he'd shout with a loud voice, hey! And the sheep that were his heard his voice and followed him. Not the other ones. Those who knew their shepherd's voice followed him. The Lord is my shepherd. The good shepherd looks after his sheep. The good shepherd's prepared to lay down his life for his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. He's looking after me. Sometimes, when it got towards dusk, and particularly if it was a misty morning or a misty evening, and the shepherd was walking through some narrow passes in between valleys and rocks and mountains, there could be easily potholes that the sheep could fall in. So the sheep that were immediately behind the shepherd obviously could see him. They were close to him. But the sheep behind them couldn't see the shepherd. It's when the shepherd goes out of vision. Do you know what the shepherd did? He got his staff and he banged it on the floor as he walked. So he'd be going along, well, a little bit like this, only he didn't have all these things on it. He'd be going like this. The sheep behind couldn't see the shepherd, but they could hear this. Whenever they heard that sound, they followed the shepherd. Your rod and your staff comforts me. The sheep knew that the shepherd was there because the rod and the staff were sounding this. Now, I thought to myself, what does the rod and the staff stand for? What does it mean? Do you know what I think it stands for? The Word of God, the Bible. I am convinced that the rod and staff means this good book. Because there's times, let's be honest, when we can't clearly see Jesus. I know that there'll be lots of Christians in the Ukraine right now that will be finding it very hard to see their God. Do you understand what I'm saying? And if you're going through a marriage breakdown, or if you're going through sickness in your body that's crippling you, if you're going through something that's really hurting you, sometimes you find it hard to see Jesus. Sometimes you find it hard to focus on God. But God's done something wonderful for us. He's told us that he is with us. And he's proved that he is with us because he's lent us and given to us his word. You've got him with you all the time. Come on. You've got him with you all the time. There is God's comfort to you. The Holy Spirit also is the comforter of God. Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit, one like me. That's what Jesus says. Jesus is the Word of God. Can you say amen to that? He is the Word. The Holy Spirit comes and comforts us through the Word. The Holy Spirit only speaks the Word. It's the Word of God that leads us and guides us. And it's the Word of God that can take away the fear of evil. It can take away the fear of the consequences of evil. Those things that we think in our mind may happen, could happen, would happen, or even we think they should happen. Well, no, because when we're walking with the Master, his comfort takes away our fear. Can you imagine if the shepherd walked those lonely trails and he didn't take his staff with him? How many sheep would have wandered off? How many sheep would have fallen? How many sheep would have got lost? And well, they didn't, because they heard the staff. Tap, tap, tap. And I'm asking you right now, as I start to bring this to a close, are you listening to your rod and your staff? Are you? Listen, don't nobody go to sleep on me now. This is the most important part of the sermon. This is what's going to keep you alive spiritually. This is what's going to keep your joy and your peace flowing through you continually. And this is going to be what leads you to heaven. The Word of the living God. He loves you. He's with you. He hasn't left you comfortless. And I'm saying this, and this is a challenge that's coming out now. Where's your rod? Where's your staff? Are you listening to it? And I'm not talking about reading two verses of scripture in the morning before you rush off to work. I'm not talking. I'm saying, are you really reading this? Is this ministering to your life? Is this showing you that you are in a different world? Amen? Amen? We as Christians are in a different world to what people out there are in. We are in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. We're in the church of the living God. Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against me. Jesus is building his church through his word. And the thing that saddens me so much is that people don't read the word like they should. Christians don't. The word of God is our comfort. Politics will not bring you comfort. I'm just waiting for an amen. I hope some of you out there said it. I'm going to say it again. Politics will not bring the Christian comfort. He will not, never has, never will. In all the history of politics, if you want to study it, and I've studied a lot of history, politics never was the answer to people's personal problems, ever. Neither will worldly philosophy be the answer for you. It won't. Worldly philosophy will not bring you comfort. Politics will not bring you comfort. Sin will not bring you comfort. But God's word will always bring comfort to the Christian. Everybody listen to me now, because some of you have shut off already. Every person who reads this book and imbibes it, soaks it in, this book will give them comfort, strength, and deliverance from the sin of this world and from the power of this world and from the power of Satan, because Jesus Christ died on the cross to set us absolutely free. That is your source of comfort. So I said to you, is it possible to live in a valley experience, to go through all the atrocities of life and not be afraid? Yes, it is. Because your rod, your staff, they comfort me. I know I have a better future, a better hope. I know in this life I am looked after by Him, and in the one to come I have a wonderful eternal life. Through this book, through this book. Now I'm going to challenge you further. I've nearly finished. Get ready for this one. How much of a pride of place does this book hold in your life? I'll guarantee if I come into your house today, I'll see a television straight away. Oh, some of you got big televisions. I'll see them. If I come into your house, I guarantee I'll see a computer. But how many of you have got a Bible in a place where it can be seen by you and your family regularly? Just sitting there. A lot of you haven't. Because a lot of you have exchanged it for what you've got on your phone. A lot of you say, well, I don't need my Bible. I've got my Bible on my phone. I've got my Bible on my iPad. I've got my Bible on my computer. Let me just tell you something. For the sake of you and your children, put a Bible somewhere where they can see it. Even open the Bible up to Psalm 23 or something beautiful like that. And just leave it. Just let that Bible say, this matters to me. I'm not going to hide the Bible. I'm not going to be ashamed of the Bible. I'm not going to put the Bible to one. This is my source of life. If it wasn't for this book, I wouldn't be anywhere. It's this book that will last and abide forever. I've got lots of books, and I've had hundreds of books in my lifetime. But I guarantee you, not one of them it's going to go to heaven with me, apart from the Bible. And here's a shock for some of you. Not even Shakespeare's going to heaven, unless he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And let me just tell you this. Shakespeare, if he did become a Christian, won't be reading Shakespeare in heaven. Amen? It's the Word of God. The Word of the living God. This Word lives and abides forever. So I challenge you. I challenge all of you out there. Take a look at your house just now. Have a look around. Can you see a Bible? Shame on you. Seriously, you may say, don't talk to me like that. How dare you bring me under condemnation? I'm not bringing you under condemnation. I'm just convicting you through the Word. Amen? It's not condemnation to tell you people to love this Word, to honor this Word. And we've got it in book form, we've got it with chapters and verses that they never had in the early church. They had scrolls, no verses, no chapters, but they honored it. They honored it. They honored the Word of God. Let's honor God's Word. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Am I feeling down today? Am I feeling a bit depressed today? Am I feeling under the weather today? Am I feeling a bit defeated today, deflated today? Well, start reading the Scriptures. Do you hear me? Start reading the Word today. And don't pull out just a couple of verses and say, I've done it. And then I'm going to have a look at Facebook now. No. I believe if Christians spend as much time in the Bible as they do on Facebook, we'd all be a lot better. Do you know why you don't spend as much time in the Bible as you do with Facebook? Do you know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because the devil doesn't want you to. The devil puts Facebook right in front of your face, and he wants you not to read the Bible. He wants to shut the Bible off from every Christian. all around the world. He wants to shut this down completely and absolutely. He wants you to think there's a whole load of rubbish, a whole load of fairy tales, that this has been disproven over and over again. Well, of course, he's a liar from the beginning. The Word of God never has been disproven, and the Word of God does not go against science. When science still stays in fact and not in fiction, when science stays in fact and not in theory, it does not contradict the Word of the living God. Can I have some amens? Can I have some louder than that? Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. And I finish with this. You are what you eat. Can I say that again? You are what you eat. All of you here today physically are a result of what you eat. Your body is or good or not so good, according to what you eat. And we know that the foods that we like very much are usually the worst that we can eat. For example, how many people here hate pavlova? Not many of you. I love it. Chocolate, oh, love it. Sugar, I got a sweet tooth, love it. But if that's all I eat, I'll die an early death. I want to live long and healthy so I can keep serving the Lord. So I watch what I eat. But let me tell you this, you are what you eat. I also eat the Word of the living God. The Bible tells us to eat His Word. To put this word, don't let this word depart from your mouth. Eat it. Take it in. You are what you eat. And if you're eating the Facebook, you are ugly. If Facebook is your Bible, you are ugly. You are distorted. You are like being in a hall of mirrors, all these distorted mirrors, and you don't know really what you look like. But if you're in the Word of God, you'll know who you are. If you're a Christian, you're a sinner saved by grace. If you know the Word of God and you're not a Christian, you're a sinner. And you need to get saved by grace. It tells you how in this book. And if you're a Christian, it tells you that you've got a wonderful hope in heaven. Amen. Wasn't that a good sermon? Hey, come on. Come on. That shook you up a bit, didn't it? And I hope it shook you lot up at home. I really hope it did, because it's the truth. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm going to pray just now. I'm going to pray that we'll start to give the Bible the pride of place that it should have. So that if I come and visit you, I will find an open Bible somewhere in your house. It's not hidden. It's not in a cupboard somewhere gathering dust. It's there. And it's there because you honor the Word of God and you love the Word of God and you treasure the Word of God. That's going to be my prayer for you. I don't know how to make an appeal this morning. I don't think I will. I'm just going to pray. And if what I have said has touched your heart and you've thought, yeah, I'm going to start to honor God's word. Let me just say this in closing. The times are bad, but going to get worse. The world is bad, but going to get worse. As in the days of Noah, Jesus said, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The day and age is getting worse. We need the Word of God more today than ever we did. I'm going to pray. And if you feel that this word's touched you, just take your right hand and just put it on your heart. Just cover your heart with your right hand. You at home, you do this as well. Cover your heart with your right hand as I pray for you. Father, we don't want to be people that's controlled by fear, like we see so many around us. We don't want fear to control us. We don't want fear to rob us of our joy and our peace, of our well-being. We don't want that. We want, Lord, to stand firmly in you and in your word. We want you to know, Lord, that we see you as a good shepherd. We want you to know, Lord, that we see you as a rod and a staff that comforts us. We want you to know, Lord, that even at times when things get very dark and very bad for us, we know that you haven't left us. You are with me. You are with us. Your rod and your staff, your word, your Holy Spirit comforts us. May we as Christians make a pledge today that we'll take your word out of the cupboard where it's gathering dust. And Lord, if we don't have a Bible, we only have one that's on our phones or iPads, I pray that we'll go out and buy one. I pray that we will get a Bible, we'll buy one, and we'll put it in our homes and keep it in our homes in pride of place so that we will be people of the word, not just say we are. So Father, may this message that I've spoken today just rest with us. Just continue to convict us. Continue to make us a people that you would have us be. May this week be a good week for your church. May this week be a week where we are rejoicing in you and in your glory. No matter what is happening around us, we fear no evil. And because we fear no evil, faith is rising within us. Faith and joy and peace. We thank you for it. May we live as you would have us live. And we will be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. Thank you, everybody.